today's episode. In today's show, we're going to talk about what we're facing and what we need to do in very heavy and urgent times.
How many illegal criminals are you planning on exporting to El Salvador? And President Bukele, how many are you willing to take from the U.S.?
As many as possible. I'd like to go a step further. I mean, I said it to Pam. I don't know what the laws are. We always have to obey the laws, but we also have homegrown criminals.
Criminals next. Yeah. I said homegrowns are next. The homegrowns. Built. You got to build about five more places.
Yeah,
right?
That's
fair.
All right.
All right, that was Donald Trump openly, brazenly boasting that he's going to start shipping U.S. citizens off to that forever torture prison in El Salvador. To quote a young woman who spoke recently at a Refuse Fascism rally here in Los Angeles, who actually spoke right after being punched in the face by a deranged MAGA Trumper, this is not a test.
This is not a drill! This is not a drill!
All right.
This is not just politics! This is fascism!
That's right. All right.
That's right, we are facing fascism. And no, this is not some lefty communist propaganda. This is the stark reality.
I really didn't realize until I saw Justice Sotomayor laying it out in her supplementary finding to the Chief Justice's ruling today, that what they're arguing is that they can do this to any one of us.
It is everything that you said, and it's actually more, because in the case of Mr. Garcia, he actually had a court ruling that he could stay here. That had been adjudicated. And so this was in violation of that court order. So yes, it's absolutely true that the position is that, but if you put the two cases together, the government was arguing they could snatch anyone, anyone in this country, remove them without due process. And even if it's a mistake, this is the callousness, even where it's a conceded mistake, that person can rot in jail as a result of the United States making a mistake, and they would have no obligation to lift a finger.
So here's Donald Trump sitting down with Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador, earlier this week. And the two of them are laughing and bragging about their defiant refusal to return Kilmer Abrego Garcia to the United States, even though the Supreme Court ordered Trump to facilitate his return. Now, for those who don't know, who is Kilmer? Kilmer is a Salvadorian man who's lived in this country for a number of years. He's got a child, he's got a wife, and he's got a court order of protection against being deported specifically to El Salvador. But a couple weeks ago, Kilmer was rounded up together with hundreds of others and denied any due process and packed onto planes. Then these planes were shipped down to El Salvador in direct violation of a court's order that said they should be returned even if they were in midair. They should be returned to this country because what was going on was illegal. They went anyhow. Then Kilmer and hundreds of others had their heads shaved. They were brutalized. The whole thing was filmed as they were thrown in cages like animals so that this could be used as torture propaganda to terrorize every single immigrant in this country and everybody else who Trump deems an enemy. So all that would be bad enough. But again, think about this. Kilmer had a specific court order saying he could not be deported to El Salvador. Even Trump's own lawyers admitted this was an error. And then the Supreme Court, yes, the fascist Supreme Court that Donald Trump packed with his fascist judges, ruled 9-0 that Trump should facilitate Kilmer's return. And Trump has refused. And not only refused, he and Bukele sat there and laughed and gloated, and they smeared Kilmer. They lied about Kilmer. They dehumanized him. But they didn't stop there. They mocked the media for even asking questions about this, attacked the media. And then Trump unleashed his, you know, his battalion of Nazi yes-men, his sycophants and fascist cohort to go and smear Kilmer as well and justify doing more and more of this.
He was illegally in our country. He had been illegally in our country. And in 2019, two courts, an immigration court and an appellate immigration court, ruled that he was a member of MS-13 and he was illegally in our country.
And what was the ruling in the Supreme Court, Steve? Was it 9-0?
Yes, it was a 9-0.
In our favor.
In our favor, against the district court ruling, saying that no district court has the power to compel the foreign policy function of the United States. As Pam said, the ruling solely stated that if this individual, at El Salvador's sole discretion, was sent back to our country, that we could deport him a second time. Well, no version of this legally ends up with him ever living here, because he is a citizen of El Salvador. That is the president of El Salvador. Your questions about it, per the court, can only be directed to him.
The foreign policy of the United States is conducted by the president of the United States, not by a court. Mm. And no court in the United States has a right to conduct the foreign policy of the United States. It's that simple. End of story.
I mean, think of the implications of this. This is what a federal judge wrote on its way on the case's way up to the Supreme Court about the dangers of this. They wrote, "The facts of this case present the potential for a disturbing legal loophole. Namely, that the government could whisk individuals away to foreign prisons in violation of court orders and then contend that that person is no longer their custodian and there's nothing that can be done." And then this judge went on to say, "It takes no small amount of imagination to understand that this is a path of perfect lawlessness, one that courts cannot condone." And in terms of this lawlessness, that's what you see with Stephen Miller getting up there and saying, "No, the Supreme Court's ruling against us. Oh, that's a court's ruling for us," and completely changing definitions, laws, and guilty verdicts with zero evidence, without there having even been a trial.
Yeah. Meanwhile, students are continuing to be disappeared. ICE is on an absolute rampage, terrorizing and busting through doors and windows to snatch people in violation of their rights.
Shocking video showing the moment ICE agents smashed a car window and forcibly removed a man in New Bedford. 29-year-old Juan Francisco Mendez has no criminal record and was awaiting his final documentation to solidify his asylum status.
No, pues no me voy a bajar.
Entonces le diga.
Si no me baja, si no.
No,
me,
you no, know.
Deja que lo revienten.
No, if it's against. No. Oh, mommy.
This is Salvadoran Elsie Noemi Barrios behind the wheel, detained by federal agents in Maryland earlier this week. Her daughter shot the video.
Wait, don't grab her like that.
People are being attacked and tased. This happened at a town hall meeting with Marjorie Taylor Greene. People spoke up in nonviolent protest and disrupted her speech. She had them tased and dragged out while her mob cheered for this. I mean, it is like a lynch mob atmosphere.
At a town hall held by Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene in Cobb County, Georgia, at least three people were physically removed by police officers.
Are you really doing this?
Stop,
sir.
Are you really doing this?
Stop.
Are you really doing this?
Ackworth police said three people were arrested.
Don't do this. Don't do this.
He grabbed me.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
It's not working.
Rewind that.
Officers used stun guns on at least two men as they tried to remove them from the building.
And then, right as we were about to film, you told me something that I was just shocked that hadn't been bigger news.
Yeah, there's several American-born immigration lawyers have gotten emails from the Department of Homeland Security demanding that they self-deport. Listen to this. The email reads, "It is time for you to leave the United States. If you do not depart the United States immediately, you will be subject to potential law enforcement actions that will result in your removal from the United States." And in that same email, the Homeland Security threatens, "If you do not leave, we will find you." These are American-born immigration lawyers. It's part of the beginning of the show. This is who Trump considers homegrown. So people need to take this very seriously.
So again, this is not a test. We are facing fascism, and Bob Avakian has been hammering at what this means. He's been fighting for people to understand this for decades as it has been rising. And in recent years, as Trump has come back to power, this is what he said very recently in a social media message, Revolution number 113.
This regime is moving with crazed speed to deny and eliminate basic rights for everyone who does not conform to their fascist rule, and to forcibly use the powers of government against anyone they regard as enemies, terrorizing, disappearing, torturing, and silencing any opposition. At one and the same time, they insist that they are above the law and that Trump is the law. They recognize no authority beyond their own raw exercise of power. This is fascism, and people need to understand this, or they cannot and will not act in their millions and millions in the way they need to defeat this fascism.
So I just want to underscore what we just heard from Bob Avakian, because people really have to confront that we are facing fascism and what that means if they're going to be moved in their millions, which they need to be, to wage the fight that is necessary to defeat this fascism. It is time to confront, and it's becoming more and more impossible to deny, if you're being honest, that there is no force from within the institutions of power that's going to stop Donald Trump. The courts are not going to stop him, and even when they try, he does not listen. Congress is not going to stop him, and waiting for some future elections is beyond delusional, and imagining that Trump would respect a future election that he lost is even more delusional. It is going to be up to the people. And there is one demand and one mission that really meets this moment that can deliver and on what is needed to defeat this fascism. And that is the demand that needs to become a rallying cry of millions, that the Trump fascist regime must go now.
Well, actually, I was going to ask you, so refusefascism.org has had this slogan, the Trump fascist regime must go, and they've just added now. So what's the significance of that?
Yeah, I think adding the now, which was, you know, a collective decision by Refuse Fascism's leadership, that we have to add this word now to that demand. It is responding to, one, everything we've been talking about, the acceleration and the pace of this fascism, and the fact that there is a window to defeat this, and it doesn't stay open forever. So there's an urgency to defeat this, but it's also speaking to the fact that there is an awakening happening, or at least a stirring of the decent people in this country. The millions, Bob Avakian has talked about, the tens of millions of decent people who hate and fear and viscerally cannot tolerate everything Trump is doing, everything he concentrates, and the threat he poses to the future. These people are not doing everything that's needed yet. They don't understand it fully yet, but they are starting to wake up. And there's a moment to be seized, both because of the escalation of the fascism, but also because of the awakening and the movement of the people. We saw it 2 weekends ago on April 5th, over 1 million people in the streets saying hands off. We've seen it in town halls. We've seen it in protests, big and small. We'll show some of this. People are beginning to stir, and it matters. And this needs to be given direction. And it needs to be given direction and a mission that can meet this moment. And it needs to be given direction that's in opposition to dead ends, which are also being fostered of sort of waiting for the next elections or waging some protests, but not really going on the offense to defeat the fascism as a whole. So this is the moment that this has to be fought for as a rallying cry of millions.
Yeah, and we mean it. You know, and I think you can see the potential for this in some of the protests that are popping off across the country. And it's not that is the demand that is on people's lips, but you see how it captures, I think, the sentiment. We're going to show a clip from a town hall that was held by Chuck Grassley, where this constituent railed at him from the bottom of his moral compass.
Are you going to bring that guy back from El Salvador?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, because that's not a power of Congress.
Supreme Court said to bring him back.
We would like to know what you, as the people, the Congress, who are supposed to rein in this dictator, what are you going to do about these people who have been sentenced to life imprisonment in a foreign country with no due process? Our government cannot do anything.
But it's the fact that tens of thousands of people are consistently turning out to see Bernie and AOC in their Fight Oligarchy tour. And these people are yearning for somebody to stand up to Trump, to give some expression to their outrage and the fight that they want to see. And even though they're getting significant misdirection, misunderstanding of the problem and misdirection and how to go at it from AOC and Bernie, this is reflecting a desire that people have. And it is striking. We went out to the rally when it was here in Los Angeles. And, you know, at one point I started yelling, "Trump must go now." And spontaneously, people were echoing it back, chanting it back. This really resonated.
Trump must go!
Trump must go!
Trump must go!
Trump must go!
All right, we are Refuse Fascism.
And then earlier this week, Refuse Fascism called for protests in Maryland outside of Kilmer Obrego Garcia's hearing, and hundreds of people showed up.
The fascist Trump regime!
The fascist Trump regime!
Must go now!
Must go now!
There may not even be an election in 2026. The time this is to demand that the regime must go now!
Yeah.
So what we are talking about is not easy. But we are talking about the future of humanity. We are talking about the lives of people in their millions, and not just here, but around the world. We are talking about people like Kilmer Obrego Garcia, whose wife and children now have their husband and father in a torture prison with the prospect that they may never see him again. That prison in El Salvador has never released a single prisoner since it's been opened in 2022, and Bukele has promised never to release one. And Trump says, let's build 5 more of them because we're going to need them for the homegrowns. So when we talk about what we're willing to risk and sacrifice, and what we're willing to come out and do right now, we can't think about just ourselves alone. We have to think about the people that are being rounded up, the families, the people in their millions, the people in those prisons, the people of the world who will have to bear the brunt of a fascist America, the most powerful country in the world, bullying people all over the world. We have to have all of that in mind, and that's why we say, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America.
There's another thing that happened this week that shows some of the two-sided nature of what we're facing that we want to bring in here, which is the ugly fascist attack on Harvard University. And finally, an institution that stood up against that fascist attack. So what happened is Trump basically last week sent a list of demands to Harvard, which would basically mean the fascist control of the university, completely gutting ethnic studies, completely gutting the history of any teaching of the actual nature of this country. And yes, it's systemic racism, something that they refuse to confront and try to cover over with their white supremacist retelling of history. And in the name and under the guise of anti-Semitism, which is bullshit coming from an administration full of Sieg Heiling Nazis, they basically tried to take over the university through government control and or threatened, if Harvard didn't comply, threatened their entire funding base. And so there was days and days of people wondering what Harvard was going to do and fighting around it, demanding that they not capitulate. So this weekend, there were hundreds of people in the cold and the sleet at a protest in Cambridge demanding that Harvard not capitulate.
This rally, the decision of the city council to co-host, may well be unprecedented. It is definitely unusual. And that is because we are living in unprecedented, unusual times. The parallels with how autocrats historically gain power are not lost on us. We do not make the analogy lightly. History teaches us that appeasement does not work. Concerted, united efforts are essential and the only path to upholding the rule of law and protecting democracy. Those of us in public office know this decision on how to respond must be weighing really heavily on the Harvard Corporation. Our message is, the world is watching.
And then on Monday, Harvard finally responded. And after, again, waves of institutional capitulations from universities, from law firms, Harvard finally said, no, we're drawing a line here. And they wrote this letter in response. They said, the university will not surrender its independence or relinquish its constitutional rights. Neither Harvard nor any other private university, which I think poses an important challenge to all the other universities, neither Harvard nor any other private university can allow itself to be taken over by the federal government. So then Trump responded, the regime responded, basically threatening to change the tax status of Harvard. So this is a two-sided fight. This is not going to be easy. And again, this is not enough, but it shows the stakes, but also the potential.
Yeah, and I think just, I will say what Harvard didn't say. It was a good letter, but what they didn't say about the university will not allow itself to be taken over by the federal government, which is a correct principle in any circumstance, but let's say not by this federal government. Again, they're Nazi saluting, white supremacist, history erasing, exalting of the Confederate generals, people purging anybody who's black or woman or trans in the academy because they're just a DEI hire. This is bringing back institutional racism, sexism, and turning the universities from a place where critical thought has at least some initiative into institutions of conformity and brainwash. Let's call it what it is, fascist brainwash. That's what they want to do to Harvard and to the campuses across the country and to the elementary and high school system and all of it. And so it actually, the stakes are extremely high. And this is a page Trump has taken right out of Hitler's playbook. They took over the universities in this way. So it's a high stakes fight in its own right, but it's also a microcosm of the larger society that needs to become two-sided. And the way to get the offensive, so it's not just a skirmish here and a skirmish there and a skirmish there. For the masses of decent people to go on the offense, and the only way to prevail is to actually defeat the fascism as a whole, which brings us back to the paramount importance of the mission that Refuse Fascism has, the slogan and demand it's raising, that the whole fascist regime must go now. And I want to underscore, this weekend people will be in the streets in different ways, big and small, this weekend around Kilmar Obrego and other protests. This slogan needs to be raised on banners in front of the media with the website refusefascism.org so that millions of people who are restless right now see and get connected with the organization that has a mission to lead this fight the way it needs to be led, and that the call to conscience, the call to action that Refuse Fascism has issued on its website and as a flyer and as a statement to sign, get out hand to hand to thousands of people this weekend, that people read it, that they sign it, and then that they get organized and invited to regional conferences that Refuse Fascism is holding next weekend on Sunday, April 27th in New York, in Los Angeles, and in Chicago, to get down, roll up their sleeves, work together to figure out how are we going to spread this demand and organize this movement to bring forward the kind of sustained protest, the growing protest that draws in the millions and tens of millions and does not stop until we create the kind of profound political crisis in this country that sends shockwaves around the whole world and that makes it so that Trump cannot impose his fascist program and actually so he can't hold on to the reins of power. This is, it's really, we started with, it is not a test. This is reality, and it's going to be shaped one way or the other. And Trump and his MAGA fascists are on a speed race to lock this in. They know people are stirring. They want to slam this in place before people get the initiative back. This is how we do, and we are in a fight right now, and the people are out there. We have to bring them this mission and bring them into this.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think part of what we have to confront is there are no guarantees here. But we have a fighting chance, and now is the time for history to be made. So we want to close out this segment with this from Bob Avakian, how he closes that social media message, Revolution number 113, on what we need to do now.
Things are moving fast. The fascists in power are determined to quickly overwhelm, divide, crush, and demoralize all those who would stand up against them. Every decent person in rapidly growing numbers needs to be mobilized and to mobilize others, quickly becoming millions rising up, united in their determination to bring about a political situation where this regime can no longer remain in power.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
Ein, zwei, drei, vier.
Strange things are happening, Lord, I don't know what to do. My friends say it's in my head, I say it's deja vu. It's all too familiar, been down this road before. I believe it was in Germany, just before the war. A meanness swept the land, stealing our hearts and the hands of time, taking us back in history to a place on the darker side, where we saluted the flags of fear and the voice of ignorance roared. Taking us back to Germany just before. Balance of power shifted when the people cast their vote. Now we're lining up the victims, the villains, and the scapegoats. And we're all singing hallelujah, death penalty's been restored. Just like in Germany, just before the war. We used to feed the hungry, care for the disabled and the poor. We used to care about civil rights, but we don't give a damn anymore. We used to harbor the wretched refuse, but now we bar the door. Just like in Germany, just before the war. About the children, their future was in our hands. Their health and education was so vital to our plans. But the cost kept on rising, we can't afford to care no more. Just like in Germany, just before the war. They say it's time to clean the slate, it's time to start anew. So what was good was bad, and bad is good, and two reasons to be a fool. But it's double speak and double think and double crosses galore. Just like in Germany just before the war. Ain't much I really can do, I'm just one lonely soul. Caring for my wife and family's all I can control. So I turn a blind eye and turn the deadbolt on my door. Just like in Germany, just before the war. Just like in Germany, just before the war. Just like in Germany, just before the war. Just like in Germany, just before the war.
Now we want to take you deeper into the leadership that Bob Avakian is providing. Here's an excerpt of an interview that Sansara did recently with Bob Avakian. Humanity does not have to live this way.
And moving closer to a conclusion here, one more time to how could it really be real that tens of millions could come forward to defeat this fascism? And how does that relate to being in a time when revolution is more possible?
That depends, and we talked about this before, that depends on people caring. Well, there are tens of millions of people who do care. There are tens of millions of people who hate the various ways in which people are oppressed and demeaned and degraded, you know, whether it's women or Black people, you know, Latinos, other people of color, whether it's LGBT people, whether, you know, care about the environment, people who, you know, understand, at least on a basic level, that the great majority of immigrants who are driven from their own homelands, you know, across the world and come to this country are doing so because of conditions that have become intolerable for them and in order to try to find some kind of better life for themselves and their families, you know, on that sort of basic level. There are people who really deeply care about all these things, you know, but at the same time, they're locked within the framework of the existing system. And so right now, most of them are paralyzed, paralyzed with fear, paralyzed with demoralization, paralyzed by the notion, well, after all, we talked about this way back at the beginning, you know, that after all, this is a legitimate way the system operates, and this is what the American people chose. This is being drummed into them all the time. So they're being paralyzed by this. And, you know, but that stands in very sharp contradiction that they do care. But they are never going to be led by the Democratic Party and by other mainstream ruling class representatives to rise up against all the things that they do care about and even deeply hate, you know, which I was just speaking to, including the danger of nuclear war as well as environmental destruction. You know, so people have to break out of the idea of going along with this is the way things work under this system. You know, and as we talked about earlier, they have to go beyond the idea, well, we just have to be let it be known that we don't like this stuff or we hate this stuff and we want it to stop. And then if they don't listen to us, well, I guess there's nothing we can do. We, you know, there is something we can do, and people need to be, you know, one, to understand there is something they need to do, but it is going to require putting yourself on the line. You know, it is, but not just by yourself. Together with others, it involves winning others and winning others to win others, to become a mass force to come onto the political stage and to break out of the stranglehold being exerted by the Democratic Party officials, you know, and the Democratic Party as a whole and by the dominant media and all the other people who are, you know, cravenly capitulating to this fascism in order to preserve the stability of this monstrous system. So the potential is there in the caring, but people have to understand where this fascism came from, why these other forces in the ruling structures of society are not going to lead them to oppose it and are capitulating to it, you know, and what they are called on to do and what they can accomplish by actually joining together in growing numbers and waves, and, you know, in rapidly growing waves of masses of people who make clear their determination that no, we don't, you know, this fascism is not legitimate. The fact that it is coming to power through the normal processes of this system does not mean that this fascism is legitimate. What it does raise is that the whole system is illegitimate if this kind of fascism can arise out of the soil of this system and come to power through the regular processes of this system. So that takes you to the verge of the next point. And these things are different. It is necessary to unite millions and millions of people in a massive determined movement to, you know, to prevent this fascism from being consolidated and carrying out its horrific program. That unity has to be as broad as it can possibly be, including people who aren't convinced that this is somehow related to the fundamental nature of the whole system and the whole system has to go. But at the same time, those of us, RevComs and growing numbers of people who do understand that this is rooted in, you know, this system and is not the only horror of this system, but it's just one, you know, concentrated horror of much greater atrocity and, you know, and outrage of this whole system. Those of us who do understand that at any given time, while uniting as broadly as possible with others who aren't yet won to that, need to be, you know, bringing forward and struggling sharply to bring that understanding to growing numbers of people and handling correctly and well the relationship between the broad unity, uniting all who can be united to really prevent this fascism from carrying out its horrific program, while we're working to win growing numbers of people to see that it's the whole system that's a horror, that this fascism is one concentrated expression of the horror of this system, but it's fundamentally, you know, as I've said, both a horrific and a completely outmoded system that humanity needs to and can move beyond, and we have to rise up in revolutionary struggle to bring about a whole different system, you know, sweeping this one completely off the stage of history and getting into all the things we talked about earlier in terms of transforming society and ultimately the whole world in a really emancipating way.
People who are watching this interview, and especially for people who are just learning about this revolution and just meeting you through these interviews, who've been inspired, who've been moved by what you've said, but who maybe have never taken a step into fighting for this kind of change before, learning about it and they're just beginning. Do you have any invitation that you want to issue, any words for people before we close out? And maybe in particular for people who've really been convinced because of the way that they're disregarded and mistreated in society, that what they do won't matter, what they say won't matter, that it won't have any impact.
Well, I think everything we talked about constitutes in a real sense an invitation to people, but more particularly speaking to your last point, you know, that's what people are conditioned to think all the time. On the one hand, they tell you, you know, when it's in the arena that they want you to be limited within, you know, voting to reinforce the rule of this system in one form or another. Oh, your vote counts. You know, every vote counts. What you do really matters. You know, but then outside of that, you know, you're told in a thousand ways, you know, that you don't really matter, especially the people, you know, who are most bitterly oppressed under this system, have it drilled into them in a lot of very overt ways, as well as a lot of other, you know, indirect ways that they don't really count. Here's the fundamental truth, the hard truth, but the liberating truth. You don't really count on the terms of this system. They don't care about you. They'll use you up and then spit you out throw you on the garbage heap, you know, or just throw you on the garbage heap without even using you up if they can't find a way to exploit you profitably or use you as cannon fodder in their wars. You don't matter to them. You don't count under the terms of this system. And as long as you stay confined within the terms and the, you know, limits of this system, what you do ultimately won't count for much of anything. But you can count for a tremendous amount by breaking out of the confines of this system, recognizing it for the monstrosity and the completely outmoded horror that it is, and becoming part of the revolutionary forces rising up to abolish this system and to bring something much better into being, where not only you, but everyone like you in the world, and ultimately humanity as a whole, finally comes to count in a whole new dimension.
Again, that was Bob Avakian from a two-part interview that was done recently, which you can watch in full on this channel and on Bob Avakian's social media platform, at Bob Avakian Official. This is so the leadership that people need right now. I mean, we've been talking about the ways in which people are being challenged to respond to and rethink their assumptions about the kind of political struggle that's needed. And I think at the same time and on a deeper level, they're also being challenged to confront big questions about even the nature of the kind of society that's given rise to this fascism. And nobody besides Bob Avakian has done the kind of deep analysis of fascism we've been talking about throughout the whole of this episode. But that's a part of a whole framework for human emancipation that he's developed, a strategy for an actual revolution, for how to put an end to this nightmare of a system, and a framework for human emancipation, the new communism, which we're just scratching the surface in today's episode. But this is a visionary way to understand the possibility of what can be brought into being in terms of a whole radically different society. You know, we were out this weekend. We talked earlier about this Bernie and AOC event in Los Angeles, and we were out this weekend distributing this new pamphlet that was compiled from the Bob Avakian Institute, which is a series of social media messages from Bob Avakian, along with his New Year's message, all of which give a really deep understanding of the historic juncture we're at and what's needed. It's titled Trump MAGA Fascism, What We're Really Facing, Why, and What Must Be Done to Defeat It Before It's Too Late. And, you know, really talking deeply with people about what's needed and what this comes out of. And no, Trump is not Putin's puppet. This is a very American phenomena. A friend of mine distributed 100 of these, raising funds for the Bob Avakian Institute in the process. And as I think as a whole, we got out over 300. But it just reflected both the depth of agonizing that people are doing and the urgency of connecting up Bob Avakian's leadership with people now.
You know, one of the things in watching and rewatching the clip from the interview that we just shared is, in addition to the fact that there is nobody who in this country who is leading and even talking about making an actual revolution besides Bob Avakian, and even setting aside the fact that there's nobody else besides Bob Avakian who's envisioned and done the work and the scientific work, the rigorous work to forge an understanding for how we could make a revolution that's worth making, that's actually emancipating, advancing the science of revolution and of human emancipation. There's nobody, I mean, you mentioned this, but there's nobody who has done the amount of work that Bob Avakian has done to lay out the basis for millions of people, including people who do not agree with revolution, people who are deeply opposed to revolution and communism, as well as people who are open to it and all kinds of other people, to come together and forge the kind of unity that's very difficult to forge, especially in a society like this, to go up against the real enemy we face in this fascist juggernaut. And I think the way that he fights for the methods, the principles, the broadness of mind, the generosity of spirit, this really is an extraordinary gift. And it's so precious and special. BA matters to everybody who wants a radically different world. And he matters for everybody who's sincere, who wants to see this fascism defeated. Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We'll be right back.
And on this question of methods and principles, I really want to call attention to a challenge to Catherine Stewart that Bob Avakian issued earlier this week. You can read it at revcom.us. And this is a response. Catherine Stewart is somebody who's for decades been exposing the rise of Christian fascists in particular in this country. And in her new book, which is about the kind of, you know, the Christian fascists and you know, in the moment, she includes in that this distortion of the position of the RevComs and an attack on the RevComs. And so Bob Avakian responded and posed this to her. Do you believe that the truth actually matters and that intellectual integrity is important? And do you recognize how endangered this is these days? Do you understand the urgent importance now of uniting all who can be united against Trump MAGA fascism? And I, you know, in this response, in this challenge to Catherine Stewart, you see where you know, Bob Avakian is taking Catherine Stewart at her best and saying this is somebody who's applied a lot of rigor in her work overall. And yet when it comes to the RevComs, she takes up this crude distortion and really bad methods. And so he's calling to her best to say, look, be consistent here. I'm not going to do the piece justice. People should read it at revcom.us. But it is a study in principle, in principled methods, in responsibility to the truth, and to following the truth where it leads and not letting our, you know, your political discomfort cloud your ability to confront the actual reality of it as it is, including the reality of other people's positions, including ones that make you uncomfortable.
And I will say, and not just defending the RevComs from attack, but actually continuing to go deeper at what is the true nature of this system that is making Catherine Stewart uncomfortable, other liberals uncomfortable, and that needs to be confronted now even more than ever. So this is very sharp, even as it's very broad-armed. And it's frankly, it's taking the offense against, you know, in terms of what is needed now.
And I want to invite everyone, you know, to go read this piece, spread it to others, and overall join the campaign to get Bob Avakian's social media, the leadership he's providing, impacting throughout all of society, at Bob Avakian Official. Raise funds for this so that it can be spread everywhere. Go to BobAvakianOfficialEverywhere.org. You can see a bunch of posters to download and spread and get on the walls. You know, the overall leadership that Bob Avakian is providing such stands out in such contrast to the horrors of this system that people get so used to, so inured to. He stands out in such contrast to the gutter methods that are in line with enforcing this system. It urgently needs to be reaching and impacting and shaking people up and lifting their sights to the fact that there really is a whole different way the world could be. So donate, spread this, raise funds, get people together to watch these interviews that we just showed a clip of, and send us your thoughts on this at info@BobAvakianOfficialEverywhere.org.
All right, so I have a challenge for all the people who might want to snark and attack and slander Bob Avakian, the RevComs that he leads, or even people who work in coalition with us in something like RefuseFascism.org. My challenge is this: is your opposition to the Trump MAGA fascism and all the horrors that it is imposing and accelerating against humanity right now, is that sincere? And is your desire to see these stopped and defeated, is that genuine and deep? Because if it is, and for all those for whom this is your desire, it is actually crucial that we unite as broadly as possible and we welcome people from very diverse perspectives and viewpoints to stand together in opposition to this Trump MAGA fascism that threatens all of our futures and the future of humanity. Even as we have to open up debate and exchange and discussion over really crucial and burning questions like, what are we facing in this Trump regime? What does it mean to call this regime fascist? And if it's true that it's fascist, what are the implications of that? What's the meaning of that? And what does it take to solve this? What's the solution to this? What are the methods that will strengthen that? What are the approaches that will lead to that? And then there's the question of, what does this fascism have to do with the fundamental nature of this country, the system in this country here in America? What is the relationship between this and the fascism that has grown out of this country? These are really important questions we need to open up debate and exchange of views over. And the more that we do this, in a principled and substantive way and learn from each other and clash this out and think about this. And the more that we go up against and defeat attempts to divide and conquer people with different viewpoints, the stronger our opposition will be to this Trump MAGA fascism, the stronger our ability will be to stand up to all the attacks that'll come down on us, and the greater chance we will have to defeat it, which is what we need to do in the name of humanity. So that is my challenge.
Well, I hope people take you up on that challenge. I think it is urgent and of the moment. And I just want to add, everybody should be part of engaging Babavakian's work and spreading it. And I want to invite everyone watching to join the campaign to get at Babavakian Official impacting throughout all of society. Donate so that this voice of principle, deep going analysis, somebody who wants to maintain no piece of this nightmare of a system and also aims to learn from and listen to and solicit the contributions of everybody in the fight to uproot this nightmare of a system and get to a whole different world. So donate to spread this voice and this work. Write to info@babavakianofficialeverywhere.org. Like I said, make a donation, follow @babavakianofficial, be part of spreading this, and send us your ideas for how to break open this kind of debate in a principled way. We want to share with you a call from the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity for April 22nd through the 24th to be National Days of Action and Political Support to demand hands off the RevComs. In three cities across the country, Chicago, Los Angeles, and the Bay Area, members of the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity are facing serious charges for speech and for nonviolent protest against Trump MAGA fascism. There are three court dates from April 22nd to the 24th for Luna Hernandez in Los Angeles, Noche Diaz and Leo Pargo in Chicago, and David in the Bay Area. And we need to have their backs. Especially in this moment of fascist terror, when the Trump regime is going after their political enemies. They're kidnapping pro-Palestinian students, and they're sending people to concentration camps in Guantanamo and the Black Site prison in El Salvador with no due process. So right now, everyone who values the right to free speech, who doesn't want to see people brutally arrested for exercising that right, you should demand and be part of demanding, hands off, drop the charges. If you recognize the grave danger that we're facing with Trump MAGA fascism, and you see the importance of mobilizing millions to defeat this, be part of demanding hands off the RevComs, drop the charges. And if you recognize that there's something fundamentally rotten about this current system, if you appreciate the work of the revolutionary leaders in this situation who are fighting for a positive way forward, and you don't want to see these voices targeted and suppressed, demand hands off the RevComs, drop the charges. So be part of these national days on April 22nd through the 24th. What you can do, sign the petition for Noche and Leo. Attend the court dates for Luna in Los Angeles, Noche and Leo in Chicago, and David in the Bay Area. The times and details are at revcom.us. Spread the word of this case through flyers and through social media, and learn more about the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity. Let's have their backs. Let's show some love. And let's draw the line and make it known and felt and heard that if you come for one, you're going to have to face us all. Drop the charges. This brings us to the end of today's episode. We're not able to cover the fact that there's been over 555 days of genocide in Gaza. This comes on top of over, 3 months, almost 2 months of a siege on Gaza where no food, no medical aid is getting in. You can learn more about what's happening if you go to revcom.us. We're not able to cover the entire whitewashing, literally the white supremacist whitewashing of the museum institutions, of the educational society under fascism. Go to revcom.us. And if you go to revcom.us, you'll also see a call for volunteers. Read that, respond. Let's work together.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out The RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
They sentenced me to 20 years of boredom for trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. Take Manhattan.